broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the 2017 ATD International Conference and Exposition. It's time for Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros.
All right, Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you from ATD 2017, brought to you by Training Pros, ongoing segments of Learning Insights. Lee, in this segment, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast a lady from W.K. Kellogg Foundation. She is Talent and Human Resources Manager, Miss Anitra Manning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Anitra, do you mind sharing a little bit about Kellogg Foundation? What are you guys doing for folks?
Yeah, so the Kellogg Foundation was started in 1930 by W.K. Kellogg, the wonderful cereal pioneer.
And cereal, you mean actual cereal?
The actual cereal. So.
Not that he did a lot of things.
He did.
So it's both.
But it's both, right. So Mr. Kellogg in 1930, with $66 million, really started the Kellogg Foundation. And if you remember around that time, there were a lot of other major industry titans that were also trying to extend their legacy. And Mr. Kellogg was amongst them. And he really wanted to see his money work for the good of people over the long term. He was particularly interested in the lives of vulnerable children. And now, with that $66 million that he started with, the organization has over $8 billion in assets to contribute to the lives of vulnerable children all over the world.
That's amazing. And what's your history with them? Were you always in philanthropy?
No, I wasn't. Actually, I just came to the Kellogg Foundation about a year and almost 4 months ago.
But you've always liked cereal.
Of course. Every child loves cereal. So I, of course, ate all of the Kellogg brand cereals when I was a child. And the way that I've explained what I do every day to my nephew is by telling him that I work for Tony the Tiger.
There you go.
Nice.
That's all he needs to hear.
So that's all that he needed to hear.
You've used the word or the phrase vulnerable children a couple of times. Can you speak to that? Because that phrase means something very specific to you and your crew, right?
It does. It does. So vulnerable children in the life of the Kellogg Foundation means really attending to where our children are today, that, you know, in their most vulnerable places and communities where they might have the need to make sure that there's greater equity, that we're able to reach out to all children across race, ethnicity, and that we are very, very thoughtful about that at the Kellogg Foundation, and so much that the organization has made absolutely certain that we put racial equity and community engagement at the forefront of everything that we do and how we make grants. So every program officer has been developed and are able to ensure that communities reach children of all backgrounds with that understanding that we have to put racial equity as a lens, so that when they are working in communities, that we absolutely reach out to all children, all vulnerable children. And a lot of those are actually those that are have that connection with race. They have issues around equity. There are limitations around socioeconomic status, where their communities may not be receiving the kind of funding and support. And perhaps their social structures are not always in place as well. So we try to make sure that our program officers are developed to meet those needs.
And that's where the Kellogg Foundation is kind of filling in the gaps.
They are.
Now, for you, when you're trying to develop talent in the philanthropic sector, is that something that's a challenge that's different than it was like when you were in the corporate world?
It's slightly different. So philanthropy has a different type of focus, right? So philanthropy will ensure that that there is a commitment to social change. And when we're looking at what happens within corporations, the interest there is in making sure that we're maximizing profit and that there's great speed. Within philanthropy, there is some level of speed, but it's very deliberate. So that it may take a little bit longer to make that grant, but they've been deliberate in structuring that grant within the community, working with community leaders, working with legislators, working with the policy think tanks, working closely with maybe some higher education institutions, looking at the research, so that whenever we're making a social investment in a community, that we're making the right investment and that we're going to get the impact that we seek.
Mentoring is an important part. You have a mentoring program, don't you?
We do. So when all program officers come into the foundation, our interest is in making sure that those program officers are as prepared as possible to meet the needs of communities around us. So there is a bottom, you know, like a baseline that we want to be able to provide in their development. And so what we're doing right now is we have a mentoring program that allows a more senior program officer who's been there for some time that understands the W.K. Kellogg Foundation way of doing grant making, and they are in place. And then they are providing instruction. They are working side by side with each program officer, going through some level of real-time grants, talking about how do we write, how do we work within communities, how do we work with each other, how do we be deliberate in the way that we're doing grant making. So taking them through the process of going through landscaping, cultivation, looking at proposal review, going within communities, doing site visits, doing evaluations at the very end. So that we have a closer to uniform way that we're doing grant making, while also recognizing that we have some very distinct talent that we have within the organization.
Now, how do you, like, mentoring is one way to transfer the knowledge, like, from one generation to the other, right, to keep the knowledge flow going. Is there anything else you're doing to kind of capture that kind of best practices from the veterans so that it can't be distilled and then shared down the line to other people?
Yeah, so one of the things that we did when we first started the program was to actually think about those who were seasoned veterans of the foundation, people who are actually maybe emeritus of the foundation, so emeriti, they may have continued on, may have gone into retirement, but we wanted to make sure that we had their very best thinking and learning at the table with us. So we began to ask ourselves, what are those behavioral standards? What are the things that have led us to success over time? And really they began to create those behavioral markers for all program officers within the foundation and utilize that understanding of what it takes, what are the behaviors, what are the personal characteristics, what is the knowledge that's needed, the skills that goes into each program officer so that they can create strong connections within community and write really strong grants.
And you want to be able to capture these best practices and share them throughout the organization, right?
That's right. So when we see that going really well, we know that we have these strong program officers. We know that there are some things that they have been doing that are very distinct. So one of the first things that we did was we had also some level of feedback that we've been getting from grantees over time. Mm-hmm. And grantees have shared with us that, you know, there's some things that we can do better on in terms of our behaviors, our skills, our knowledge, and what we're bringing into community in terms of our dispositions, the way that we speak and communicate with them, even some of the technical ways that we do grant making. And so we utilized that data, rolled that up along with our knowledge of best practices that we knew were already within the organization, and structured a new and invigorated program.
Now, when you're working with people that are in the nonprofit sector like this, how do you go about the development of their skills to make sure that, you know, there is a path for them and they see a future?
Yeah. So to really do that, we have to look at very closely our career development pathways so that we understand what it takes to actually deliver grant-making services repeatedly and in a very strong way. At the beginning of their time, and actually we did this for everyone within the organization over the last year, is we utilized our staff perception report, our grantee perception report, and we gained real data around how people were performing. And we also had data from their colleagues around how they were performing, and utilized a combination of that feedback to really engage in some significant conversations around what is your talent development plan? What would you like to do over the course of your career here at the foundation? What would you like to do at large, you know, beyond the foundation, outside in the community? What are the kind of things you want to be strong in so that wherever your next move is, that you're prepared for that next level?
Was there any surprises when you did that?
There were a lot of surprises for people. I think sometimes we don't always have that level of awareness around our strengths. Mm-hmm. What people see that you're really good at, because we're so focused on our deficits, because we happen to live in a pretty deficit focused world and not on our strengths. So when we start looking at our strengths and say, you know, build from your strengths. Let's not build from where you're weak. Build from your strengths. It's a different type of conversation.
Right. And that's, so philosophically, that's what you believe in, to focus more on your strengths?
I do believe
you
in
get
focusing.
You get the most out of a person.
You can get more out of people if you focus on their strengths. Less so if you focus on their weakness. And the reason why is because if you focus on your strengths, you already have your brain is already set up to continue to build on that. But when you build on someone's weaknesses, they really have an opportunity to not do so well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And do you think that that's even more so, more important in the nonprofit sector? Getting a person that wants to do good, they feel like they're giving back, and they want to feel that sense of I'm in my lane, I'm doing everything the way I should be, and I'm getting the most out of myself.
Yeah, I think in philanthropy, which would be a little bit different than the nonprofit sector in general, because we have the money, right? A lot of times we are so focused on, you know, our role in doing good that we may not have that opportunity to really reflect.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to put a component of reflection?
Yeah, it's important to have that reflection. And, you know, I think that goes across sectors. So coming from corporate before coming here, I think a lot of times we do focus so much on where that person needs to improve. And the feedback that people get is always on that negative stream.
Right.
And we say, we're balancing our feedback. But they do it in terms of this sandwich.
Right.
And it's not a nice
sandwich.
It's like bad tuna.
Right.
You know, and you really, really want people to have a really good experience where you can, if you build more and spend more time intentionally building on their strengths, less time focusing on their weaknesses or their opportunities, and I'm putting air quotes in the air, then you will actually have someone that is ready to be developed.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wants to learn more about the Kellogg Foundation, where should they go?
So the Kellogg Foundation, we've recently released our annual report, 2016 annual report, is located at wkkf.org.
Anitra, so rest of today and tomorrow.
Yes.
What are you going to do with your time? You're going to walk the court, carpet, visit with some folks? Are you looking for anything or anyone specific?
Yeah, so I am very, very interested in talking with organizations that could support our mentoring program platform.
Mm-hmm.
I am very interested in continuously learning more about what others are doing in the field of leadership development. And I'm very fascinated right now around disruptions in talent management and development. So right now, the industry's gone through so much change because people are talking about not utilizing the learning management system as much as it used to be, that we don't have to have these this ultimate control over all things mm-hmm. in talent management.
That's a real shift, though, in thinking,
it's
right?
It's a huge shift, and so I'm hoping I will hear more conversations about that and how we actually give the ownership of learning to those who are actually coming to us the most. And so that executives own it, that our talent owns their own development, and that we're not necessarily providing this overall need around learning, but that we're actually at the table talking about strategy and intentionally talking about how do we actually grow our talent so that we're meeting the needs of the marketplace. And my marketplace right now is in philanthropy. My colleagues and those that I used to work with are thinking about how does their talent meet the needs of the unknown tomorrow, you know, where there's always complexity in the marketplace. Things can change overnight, and we have to create people who are agile enough to respond quickly.
So you've got plenty to do in the next day and a half, sounds like.
I do have plenty to do. So I've been on one side. I have another side to go on. I have some partners that I've been working with, and I want to be able to talk with them and talk about what's next for us. And I work together here at the foundation and talking with people who are doing some fascinating things beyond the work that I'm in every day.
All right. So we'll let you get to it. But before we do, one more time, best way for people to reach out, talk with you, or learn more about the foundation.
Yeah. So my LinkedIn handle is simply, of course, LinkedIn /N/ Dr. Anitra, DranitraTRA. And this has been Dr. Anitra Manning.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
All right. We'll be back in a few from ATD 2017.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.